Knaan, you were there. You broke the story of this float for this parade. Give us a background. What was the parade for?
Does anybody want to take a crack at describing the float?
Yes. Go, Simon.
I know I can't because I've got it open in front of me and they look like a bunch of Hasidic rabbis in drag. I mean, they're in little pink outfits with the most awful caricatured faces you've ever seen, ever. It's an anti-Semitic trope.
It's like the propaganda that was put out.
It's Der Stürmer. It's Der Stürmer. Yeah. That's what this is.
Der Stürmer, yeah.
Right. That about captures it. This happened Sunday at, Aalst. Aalst is a smallish city in, western Belgium, 15 miles, 30 kilometers west of Brussels. And this is a UNESCO recognized, parade. It's called Carnival, a Catholic holiday. It happens each year, and the people there spend the whole year. These are volunteers. These are just police officers and firemen and teachers, firefighters. As their hobby is building those huge floats, big, elaborate, ostentatious floats. And this year, a group called Vismoylen, which is a dialect that I don't understand exactly what it means, but it has nice-looking fish in the word. They chose to address rising prices. And how would they do that? Well, obviously, they would portray Jews sitting on piles of money with one of the Jews, a grinning figure, clutching a cigar in his teeth, has a rat on his shoulder. Oh, and behind those puppets, those huge hyper-realistic puppets, are about 20 people dressed like the puppets. So Haredi drag, love that phrase, Paul. Dancing on the truck behind, on the platform behind the actual float to a song that speaks about bulging coffers of Jews. That's Jewishly beautiful, and Jews who grow extra fat. Now, this is remarkable on several levels, right?
Right.
As Paul pointed out, this is 1930s, Der Stürmer, Nazi propaganda to your face on a UNESCO recognized parade in a large city in Belgium. So that's jarring right there. But now when you think about it, just the amount of work, the amount of attention, the amount of thought, the number of people who worked on this is just really astounding. And through all that process, nobody stops to think, hey, maybe this is not such a good idea, considering that only 70 years ago, the Jews of Aalst were rounded up and sent to Auschwitz, by people fed on very similar propaganda. So, you know, like a good journalist, I call the people up. They don't want to speak. So I call up the person, the lyricist, the person who came up with this song about Jews bulging coffers that are beautifully Jewish and growing extra fat on Jewish money. And I ask him, you know, what's up? And this guy's called, his name is De Witz. Mr. De Witz, and he's a police officer, works for the police. And he tells me, yeah, we were just looking to have a little bit of fun. We did not intend to offend anyone. This is party line for anti-Semitic jokes. But you know, I don't regret one thing. I would do it again. And I am supported by our mayor. And our mayor, Christophe Reals, he actually said that he would, if we would be prosecuted because two Jewish groups filed a complaint for incitement against them. It's not legal to incite to racism and discrimination in Belgium. If we are found guilty, the mayor promised us that he's going to front the money. He's going to pay for it out of the city budget.
Hmm.
And that's another thing that's just absolutely remarkable about this case, because you see politicians from a nationalist Flemish party, you see just ordinary folks getting behind, getting defensive and defending their anti-Semitic tropes that do not occur in a conversation about Israel and the Palestinians, that do not occur even in some economic conspiracy theories. It just occurs on the street where people gather to have some good fun. And that is perhaps the most mind-boggling aspect of this whole affair.
What's also fascinating, Khan, I've read your article, it's open in front of me, is the comments below. The level of intellect, or lack thereof, would probably be more accurate. The level of debate. I mean, this is puerile rubbish that people are deeming fit to post underneath your article.
How many of them do you think actually read the article? And how many do you think read the headline?
Yeah, well, I can't answer that. Have you read the comments on the Times of Israel under your article, Khan?
Nope, this is news to me, but I tell you what I have read. I've read the comments on Facebook on the group that designed this float. Not that group. It closed its Facebook account immediately after the storm hit, but a related group. And again, there was the sentiment of let the Jews stay in Antwerp, where there's a large Haredi community. There's this defensiveness. There's a lot of anti-Semitic chatter right there. So I think we've crossed the Rubicon once such things occur. It's really, really remarkable. It just I'm almost tempted to get some popcorn and just watch it all unfold.
Well, you know, from here, southern tip of Africa, we are watching it unfold, and largely we're doing it through your eyes. At what point do you, as somebody living in Europe, think that it's time to say, you know what, Jews, it's time to get out of Europe?
Well, in my personal case, these things only reinforce my desire to stay here, right? Because you're seeing a major news story unfolding,
right.
And you're there, you're feeling it, you're tasting it, and it's great material for articles in the book. It's a journalist's dream. But as a father, I think that point has been crossed a long time ago, especially in Belgium, where a guy called Joël Rubinfeld, he's the head of the Belgian League Against Anti-Semitism, is speaking of a quiet exodus. You know, I have family in Brussels, and I live in Amsterdam, so it's just a train ride away, and we often go to Sedil, and they have this thing. I don't know if they do it also in South Africa. I'm actually curious. You know, where you sing the Seder songs, and it's a crescendo, and it's rising, and at some point they're all pounding on the tables, right, like some prison riot. Chad mi odea. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Who knows one? Yes.
Okay. So I came there with my kids, who are 3 and 2, and I thought, oh, you know, my crazy Belgian relatives, I hope it won't be too intense for them.
Right.
And, you know, we were sitting there, and it was actually pretty mild. It was actually pretty calm. It's a table of 20 people. And I look around, and I ask myself, you know, what happened? Well, tell you what happened. Eli left for Florida, and Eric left for California, wow. And Mickey is in London, and Edna is in Israel, because they're all leaving. So they're not screaming anymore, and you suddenly had this realization that that's how Jewish life diminishes from Seder to Seder in that country that is so representative of Europe in its entirety, a binational experiment born out of some consent to tolerate and to live together that's failing, that's falling apart, that's turning on its minorities, that is scaring off its Jews.
So interesting. I mean, I think that what you say about the Seder is largely true for South African Jews as well. I don't know a lot of people who can have a Pesach Seder with the entire family that they could 20 or 25 years ago.
We were never targeted as Jews.
No. People are leaving for other reasons.
And
so I think that on that point we can definitely identify. You know, a lot of people are leaving because of the political instability here. You know, you've got, that's a whole nother conversation. Khan, I want to just thank you. I want to thank you for reporting these things and for, even though it's not ideal, for you to raise your family in a Europe that is emerging, very much unchanged by the past. Thank you very much for reporting it.
Thanks for giving me a chance to tell all about it.